Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sound like we got fire in the hole, doesn't it? In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord. The Living Savior Church. Praise the name of the Lord. God is so good.
If anyone needs any Psalm 91 cards, we have a box of them here.
Oh, okay. Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, we have a box of Psalm 91 cards up here, and if anybody does need any, you're going to pass those out to people. We have some. We want people to... this thing is really getting to be out of control. That's usually the way Jesus does things, isn't it? Things are out of control. It looks that way, but it's really not. You know, he's in control, and it is amazing. You know, like Dave was talking about that young man, that missionary from Vietnam. You know, you don't know what the world looks like until you've been there. But unfortunately, or fortunately, or whatever, I was one of the very first teams of men that went into Vietnam. You know, so it's amazing, you know, what we saw and the things we saw and the people that got killed and all the stuff that happened. I lost several of my friends, my good buddies that I went over there with. They got killed. Several of them did. But I realize, you know, today as I look, everybody's going to get killed somewhere. You know, everybody's going to die. So don't plan on living forever in this flesh, on this body, because you ain't going to do it. You know, you're going to live a while, and then you're going to die. And Dave said he wants to try to make it to 500. Well, praise the Lord. If he gets there, that's great. So I don't know. I don't see that. I don't. In fact, I'm really not sure I want to go to 500, you know. So anyway. Anyway, I'm having lots of fun the way it is, and I love seeing things happen, and I love seeing the Lord do things, and I realize he's in total charge, and he does something that's so unique. You know, we fight against ourselves. You know, it's just like this young lady that we've been having this conversation with almost every day. She is so wicked and so mean that even God can't save her. So you know what she thinks about herself, right? Wow, she's in sad shape. So anyway, since I know that the God of this world has blinded her mind, and we've gone over those things before, of course, I prayed the prayer of faith for her. I kicked the devil out, commanded him to go away. And sometimes the devil tries to hang on a little while, but he knows once we speak in faith, he has to go. It just ain't no two ways about it. He has to go. You know, I mean, we're going to see that in the scripture today in 2 Timothy. But, you know, he has to go. And it's when he is sitting there waiting for you to give up. So, and all it takes is just for you to doubt just a little bit, and he's the winner. So you got to stand in faith, knowing beyond a shadow of doubt that the Word of God is true and that it'll work for you. So I want us, I know that we fight against ourselves. I mean, I was raised up in a church, a Christian church, a Baptist church, all those years of my life. And there was a verse in that scripture, in those scriptures, that when I would read it, I would just read right over it because it was too wild to possibly be true. I mean, there was a whole lot of them like that in there, but... You know, this one was so far out that I don't know why Jesus would have put it in there. He must have made a mistake. Because that's what I thought. But I want us to put John 20:23 in the King James Bible on the board. And I want us to look at this and meditate on this for a second. And I want you to see what this scripture says. John 20:23. Now then, my question before you probably already read it, but I want to ask you this question. If I asked you the question, just like how many of you believe that you have the power to forgive sin? You know what nearly everybody will tell you? No, I do not have that. They don't know this verse, see? So when I said, how many of y'all, a whole bunch of y'all throwed your hand right up, you know the answer. You know you have the answer because you know what the scripture says. But just think, how many people does not know that? I mean, I can remember the very first Sunday I taught this verse in Dallas, over at our church in Dallas. I had almost nobody make a statement. Nothing. I taught on this verse, and we read it, and we read over it. And what does it say? Kim, what does that verse say?
Whosoever sins.
That whosoever include?
That's all of us. That's
any, but whosoever sins you?
Remit.
They might be forgiven.
No, that's not what it says.
It doesn't say that, does it?
No, it does not.
So if I were to ask you the question, just like yesterday at the healing school, I asked this question. I said, how many of you believe that you, as a Christian, can have a demon? And many people that are Christians say, oh, that's impossible. Impossible. No Christian could possibly have a demon. Now, let's just be truthful right here and let's think about this a second. How many of you have been in a church that got into the... got into the scripture deep enough to even talk about demons, because most churches don't talk about demons, do we? No, we don't talk about it. We have no idea what they are, who they are, what they do. We just know that we come to a little section here in the Bible, starting with Matthew, and through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we learn a lot about demons. And even in the book of Acts, you know, we get into demons, and let's kind of get through that part, or at least the part where the demons are, in a hurry, because I don't want to talk about demons. Well, that's our problem. Demons are our problem. And Jesus came and showed us these things. And so whenever I ask the question, how many of you believe that you as a Christian can have a demon, almost nobody holds up their hand. No, I can't have a demon. In fact, we had several pastors here yesterday, and I talked to several of them, and some of them, they don't believe that you can have a demon. You know, it's impossible. You're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. You cannot have a demon. And I've asked that to seminary professors, and I've had the privilege to speak at some of the seminaries in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and unfortunately, most of them, if you ask them, do you believe you can have a demon? Absolutely not. Absolutely, it's impossible for me to have a demon. Well, my second question to them is, how many of you believe that if you have a demon, that it comes from God your Father? God your Father would give you, now you've lost your ever-loving mind, Thurman. Now, this was something before. But to think that God, the Father, the loving God, which would never do anything bad to me, would give me a demon to torment me?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, you've got to have lost your mind. But if you really study the word in detail, I had one man yesterday that told me, he said, and he cried the whole time I talked to him. He said, you have been given great revelation from this book. How many of you know I have been given great revelation from this book?
Amen.
How many of you know God can do anything he wants to do?
Yes.
Now he's given that great revelation to you, isn't he, Mike?
Yes.
You're getting a hold of it.
Yes.
So you're beginning to understand. But I'm so grateful that God gave me this revelation. Because a few years ago, I will tell you, I've said this before here, that my wife was watching some Christian talk show or something one morning while she was fixing breakfast. And this guy that was talking said, you know, demons are our problems. And demons is what makes us sick. And even as a Christian, you can have a demon. And I just told her, turn that thing off. He's lost his mind. Now, isn't that something? And now then I'm teaching it. So you turn him off, he's lost his mind. But when it comes to this scripture right here, back to John 20:23, let's go back to John 20:23, and I can tell you for sure that the Sunday that I spoke on this and talked about this, I didn't have anybody say a word. I didn't have very many people come up for prayer. But the next Sunday, I had several of them come up and say, "Pastor, we went and talked to our pastor that where we go to church after we left here last Saturday or last Sunday, and we asked him that question you ask us, can we forgive sin?" And he said, "Absolutely not. Who do you think you are, God? Who are you?" That's a big one. Who are you? Are you sons and daughters of the Most High God?
Absolutely.
Are you really, do you really, really believe that Jesus Christ lives in you?
Absolutely.
Do you really, really believe that you're a new creature in Christ?
Yes.
And he's paid the price for all your sickness and all your sins, and you are a new creature in Christ. You really believe that?
Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt.
Then when I look at you, who do I see? I see Jesus. It doesn't make any difference who it is. Whether I'm looking at Betty or Kim or Cheryl or Nate, or when I look at y'all and y'all have been washed in the blood, I'm looking at Jesus. We are sons and daughters of God. We are children of God. In fact, let me put it in a way that makes you kind of cringe. On this earth, we are God. Because who lives in us?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ lives right here. Does he not?
Yes.
Does he live in you?
Yes.
So when I look at you, who do I see?
Jesus.
Absolutely. You know, people will say, "Oh well, you know, that's kind of a misprint there. That's not really what that means." Why do they do that? Because they know themselves, and they know how bad we are. You might come to church and say, "Oh, I'm the sweetest wife there ever was," but you just ask the husband where you just left, and he said, "That girl won't do nothing I ask her to do." You see what I mean? So she knows that, and she knows she's not going to submit. So when you say, "You're Jesus," she say, "No, no, that's a misprint. I'm not Jesus." Is that kind of the way we look at it? But according to that scripture, John 20:23, whose sins does that say you can forgive?
Anyone.
Isn't that something? Whosoever sins, you forgive. So if you have somebody that you're going to pray for, now then let's go to Psalm 103, and let's look at Psalm 103, and let's see what that says. Let's go there for a minute, and then we'll come back to John 20:23. Look at this. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Now see there again, even under the old covenant, he's talking about God being in you. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." All that is within me, because who's in me?
Jesus.
"Bless his holy name." Okay, let's go to the next verse. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Okay, let's see what the benefits are. Who forgives how many?
All.
Who forgives all our iniquities, and who healeth all our diseases. Now then, if you see that like I see that, he forgives all of our iniquities, if you want to pray for somebody, he's got that in order there. "I'm the God that forgives all of your iniquities, and then I'm the God that heals all of your diseases." Is that right, Paula?
That's right.
That's the order he put that. So we need to do that in that order. So if you want to pray for somebody, you got a loved one or somebody that they don't want to get close to God. Just like this woman that's been contacted us when I said, "You know, I'm going to pray for you and you're going to get saved." She said, "But I don't want you to pray for me. I don't want to be prayed for. I don't want you to touch me." I said, "You know, one thing about it, me being over here on the internet, laying here in my bed, you can't hardly stop me." In the spirit world, is there any distance?
No.
So it makes no difference. I could be right there beside her. It makes no difference. But I can pray, and when I pray, when I say, Lord, I'm going to remit this girl's sins. Now then, if I say, Lord, I'm going to forget who's ever. Paula. I'll use Paula for an example here. If she comes to me and I say, okay, before I pray for you for your healing, I'm going to remit your sins, and I'm going to forgive every sin you ever got in the name of Jesus. Can I do that?
Yes.
Sure I can. Now, if you're there and awake and you can be in agreement with me, it helps things for you to be awake and be in agreement, right?
Yes.
Because the Lord says, if two of us agree, things go. So if I want to pray for somebody, I don't care who it is, if I want to pray for anybody, the best thing for me to do is once I say, whether I lay hands on them or not, the scripture does say, lay hands on the sick and they'll get well, they'll recover. But I don't have to. There's so many ways He made for us to do this. We don't have to do everything exactly the same way. But as far as remitting or forgiving someone's sins, if you're going to pray for that person, before you lay your hands on them, or if you do lay your hands on them, or if you're on the phone, or if you're on the internet, like Cheryl and I was the other night, all I got to do is say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I remit this girl's sins, all of them. Now, who's talking? Who's the guy that's laying there in the bed that's talking? He knows Jesus. And who is he? He's the Son of God.
Amen.
He's a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He is Jesus on this earth, just like you are.
Yes.
Does it make it nice to know that you're Jesus on this earth? Whether we be male or female, does it make any difference?
No.
We're still Jesus, little Jesus on this earth. So right now, I want you to think about this. If you wanted to pray for anybody in this building, if there's anybody here that's not doing what you think they should be doing, they're not following God or not walking with God, I want you right quick before they have time to get up and run away, I want you to just look at them and say, I forgive your sins. Nobody said nothing. I want you to say, I forgive your sins.
I forgive your sins.
I want you to look at your neighbor sitting beside you and say, I forgive your sins.
I forgive.
Say it again. I forgive your sins. Now, do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Okay, then turn around and look at the person behind you and say, I forgive your sins. I forgive your sins. Now, what did the scripture say? Whosoever sins you forgive? Maybe.
No.
Oh, he didn't say that.
No.
He said your sins. Now then, are we, when people say Thurman's stretching the truth here, he can't do this.
No.
I mean, what part is it I'm stretching that don't work?
No.
I mean, is what I'm saying what the word says?
Yes.
So that's another thing that breaks our hearts. As we see what's happening in these last days. I mean, I stood in awe that noon today. I turned the TV on just to see what was going to happen. And when I turned the TV on, I saw them praying over the races right down the road. And they prayed in the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
And then four F-16s flew over. And the flags were flying everywhere. And I thought, boy, what a difference this was when the other president, Obama, was in there. He said, nobody will ever have a flyover at no event. We will not do that no more. We are not going to do that. We are not a Christian nation. And that was the president of the United States. But do you know why we wound up with him in office? We wound up with him in office because we didn't read the word and do what it says. He says, pray over those people that are in office. Pray over them. Forgive their sins. You know, I mean, pray over them. And did we do that? Not very well. Not very well. And that's why we wind up with this stuff. But I thought, here we are. Now, while we're talking about government, just a second, I'm going to throw something in here. This may not come to pass, but I have heard that there's going to be a mega group of people protest something today. Is that right?
Yeah. It'll be Dallas.
Okay, that's going to be in Dallas, right?
Yeah.
Supposed to be a humongous thing.
Yeah.
And then later on this week, they're going to have more protests and different things. And, you know, Let me give you a warning from what I have been warned. If these things go negative, if any of these protests go negative for any reason, there's going to be martial law declared, and these people are going to be picked up by the U.S. government soldiers and put in FEMA camps, and you're going to be in there for the next 20 years. So let me tell you, I don't want to be wrong, but I sure don't want to see this come to pass. But let me tell you what, if you're even thinking about joining one of those protests, get as far from that sucker as you can until they're all over. When they're all over and everything's back in peace, then you can go back to Dallas. But don't go down there running around if they're having a protest, because if this thing goes crazy, I mean, here a while back, somebody said, Thurman, nothing like this could ever happen. I saw just a few short weeks ago, 5 police officers get killed in Dallas. Do y'all see that?
Yeah.
If you'd asked me, do you believe that could happen in America? I'd have said, no, that could not happen in America. But it did happen in America, and it happened right here in our back door. So let me tell you, I hope none of this happens, but if you haven't prayed for government lately, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now would be a good time for us to pray. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords, and that you're Jesus Christ and you live in each one of us. You're our healer, our deliverer, our everything. And Father, we rebuke the enemy and we ask you to put faith here in our hearts. Let us walk holy and pure and clean, because we do not want to see crazy things happen. We don't want to see people get killed. We don't want to see no more of this 5 men or 6 men or 10 men or any other number of men get killed in the line of duty. We don't want to see this happen. But we know that the enemy's doing wicked things out there, Lord, and we ask you to give us wisdom, knowledge. Show us what we need to do in these last days so we can be awesome men and women of God, so we can pray the prayer of faith for people, so we can see people get set free, so we can see people get healed and delivered. And Father, I thank you and praise you, because Lord, you are the mighty God. You are the King of kings and the Lord of gods, Lord of lords, and there's nothing impossible with you. And I thank you, Lord, for being our King, our Lord. And I thank you for protecting each one of us. And I thank you for giving the men and women, especially the men, that are supposed to be running the nation. God, when you put men in to run your nation, you always put men in there. All of your disciples and all of your apostles were all men. Lord, you made the women to do something else, but they're not supposed to be the warriors and the fighters and all this kind of stuff. But Lord, use the women for the jobs you give them and let them glorify you in what they do. Because, Lord, it's wonderful to have good women in the church and everywhere else. But Lord, I thank you for blessing us. I thank you for blessing the people. I thank you for giving our leaders knowledge, wisdom, revelation, understanding, that they might do what's right. Lord, you said any man lacks wisdom, let him ask you, Lord. Well, we're asking you, Father. We need wisdom. We want wisdom to rule your people. We want wisdom to do what you want us to do so we can be sons and daughters of God. And we want wisdom in our hearts so that when we look at ourselves in a mirror, we know that we are sons and daughters of God. We're not just a nobody. We're somebody. We're children of God. And there's nothing impossible with us as sons and daughters of God. So, Lord, thank you for blessing us and using us. Now, Lord, one more time, I want everybody to look either to your left or to your right, or to put your hand on the person beside you or whatever, and say, I forgive your sins. I forgive your sins. Real simple. Put your hand on somebody and say, I forgive your sins. Now then, do you believe the people you said that their sins were forgiven? Okay, if their sins were forgiven and you got to somebody or two or three somebody's, one on the right and one on the left, then right now this is the cleanest place you've ever been in. Everybody's sins are forgiven. Everybody's sins are washed in the blood. Lord, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for washing us in the blood. We thank you, Lord, for redeeming us from the curse. We thank you, Lord, for being the God that forgives all of our iniquity. Now, we just got through confessing every sin of everybody in this place. It doesn't matter what they've done, how many times they've done it. We just washed them away by the blood of Jesus. And we overcame him by the blood and the word of our testimony. We overcome the enemy. We're free in Jesus' name. Now then, the only problem is, do we believe this? Okay, so then we're redeemed. We're washed in the blood. Our sins are forgiven. I am as clean right now by the blood of Jesus as you can possibly be. You are as clean as, if you believe the word, you're a new creature in Christ. So if you prayed for somebody, or if you laid hands on somebody and looked at somebody and said, I forgive your sins, are their sins forgiven?
Yes.
According to the word of God, yes, their sins are forgiven.
Yes.
And those people are free. Now then, the scripture says, whoever lays hands on the sick, they will recover.
Yes.
Is that what it says?
Yes.
Mark 16, 18, and 17 and 18, and we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Yes.
I put that up on the board, Mark 16, 17 and 18, and I want us to look at this one more time. I want us to see we have just remitted all the sins. Now, once we remitted all the sins and he forgave all of our sins, then he said he heals how many of our diseases?
All.
Okay, see, he heals all of our diseases. So we got the sin problem taken care of. Now then, we're going to pray for each other, and we're going to expect God to heal everybody in this place today.
Yes.
Because as he says right there in that word, I'm the God that forgives all of your iniquities. And have we confessed our sins?
Yes.
Over and over. Yes, Lord, we've confessed our sins, so we're forgiven.
Yes.
So now then, Lord, you're going to heal everybody of all their problems. You're going to deliver them. You're going to set people free. There's not going to be any demons that run out of here other than screaming as they go out the door. In the name of Jesus, they're going to be afraid to show up in this church. Because when you show up in this church, there's sons and daughters of God here that know who they are in Christ Jesus, right?
Yes.
Okay, so in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and praise you that you've promised to heal us all. Now then, if that scripture is on the board, which one is on the board? Mark 16, 17, and 18?
No, not yet.
It's Psalm 103. And we got that one, though. Psalm 103. We got that, right?
Yeah.
We got that. If we confess our sin, he forgives how many of them?
All
of them. And then after he forgives all of them, how many does he heal?
All
of them. So we're lined up now for healing. So Mark 16, 17, and 18, it's, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name,
they shall cast out
devils. Okay, so let's look at whoever's next to you and say, I command you devils to leave my loved one or my neighbor or whoever. I command every devil of hell to leave this in Jesus' name. Every devil of hell has got to leave in the name of Jesus. They can't stay in this place no more. Every devil of hell. I mean, put your hands on somebody and say, you evil spirit must leave in Jesus' name. You cannot stay here in Jesus' name. We will not allow you to stay in this place in the name of Jesus. Say now, Lord, say thank you for delivering my neighbor. Thank you for delivering me. In the name of Jesus. I am free. In Jesus' name. Now then, how many of you believe what you said just happened? In the name of Jesus. God can't lie. He delivered us all. Thank you, Lord. Now then, we are delivered. We have been given power and authority over the enemy, all power and all authority over the enemy. And all of our sins are forgiven. And it's amazing. It's just amazing the number of people that don't know these scriptures are even in the Bible.
Right.
Isn't that right, Paula?
That's right.
Yeah. But the most powerful thing, it got you healed, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, just think. For those of you that don't know Miss Paula, Miss Paula had been, I think Miss Betty told her about it. She needed to come out here because she had been sick for 20 years, something like that.
Yeah.
So Miss Betty works, I think y'all work together, right? Or something. You had been sick for 20 years.
Yes.
And Miss Betty told her to come out here. People, she said, people get healed out here at the Living Savior Church. So she come. And she got prayed over a few times, and I think Mike and Gracie done most of the, they're the prayer team over here. Mike and Gracie, hold up your hand so everybody will see who y'all are.
Yes.
This is one of our, just one of our prayer teams, but they know the principles of the kingdom, and they prayed for this lovely lady and at several times, but as they did, finally one day she realizes that for the first time in 20-something years, she has no pain in her body.
Absolutely.
No pain in her body. She's healed.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Right.
Now, what they were doing was exactly what we've been doing.
That's right.
In the last few minutes, what they did for you is what we're doing for the whole church.
Right.
Now then, do you really believe this book is true?
Yes.
If this book is true, and it's only God's word. It's only God's word, right? Only? That doesn't put it up very high, does it, Miss Paula?
No, it puts it high.
Lord, forgive me for making that little statement. You know I was doing that in jest, although you said don't jest, so I'll try not to do that, but I love having fun with the Word of God. I love seeing it work. I love seeing you get healed. I love seeing your daughter get healed. I love seeing everybody get healed and all the wonderful things that God says. Now then, just think. When you go somewhere, somebody has got a problem or a headache or anything, it doesn't matter what it is, minor, major, you just can't tell what God's going to do. But if you see somebody that has a problem, any kind of a problem, whatever it is, I've had a few people like this lady that I just got through telling you about, that whenever I tried to talk to her over the internet, she didn't want to talk. She didn't want to hear. She's impossible for her to be saved. Not even God can't heal me. Even God can't save me. Now, how well does she know God? You know, I thought about Isaiah Reed. If you've never heard of Isaiah Reed's testimony, we got it back there in the back, but Isaiah Reed, he's a guy that, he was, wow. I couldn't even tell that. It is so awesome, isn't it, Mike? That guy, here he is. He's in a druggy house with a whole bunch of different women and guys and everything, and they're having a drug party and everything else, and all of a sudden one of these girls comes to him and says, she starts crying and something, and he says, what you need is some more drugs. And she said, no, I don't want no more drugs. He said, what you need is some more money. She said, no, I don't want no more money. He said, anytime a woman don't want drugs or money, the only one thing left to do, that's just knock her out. So he said, I drew back to hit her, and I heard a voice say, Isaiah, how about you? Who's talking to me? Isaiah, it's God. God, I don't even believe in you. How can I hear your voice? I don't believe in you. You're not real. He said, Isaiah, I am real. I am real. He said, God, are you trying to tell me you can save this woman? He said, sure I can. Just pray for her. So he said, I prayed for her. Here he is, a lost guy. He prays for this woman, and this woman gets saved, and she's flopping all over the floor and doing all kinds of stuff, screaming and hollering and everything. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, well, Isaiah, how about you? He said, God, even you can't save an old wicked boy like me. He said, why don't you ask me? He said, okay, God, you demand. I love the way black people talk. God, you demand. If you can do anything with me, do it. And he said, God, mop the floor up with me. Bam, wham, wham, wham. And when he come up out of that thing, he is saved, filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Don't tell me God can't save you. When I read that testimony and heard Isaiah give that testimony, I got a whole new revelation of the grace and mercy of God. I'll tell you what I'd have done if that boy had been one of my sons and he's as wicked as he was. I'd have killed him a long time ago. But God's merciful, isn't he? When he says his mercy is new every morning, he means that. His mercy does not run out. But he saved Isaiah Reed. And then, of course, Isaiah turned himself in, and he was a druggie and all this stuff, and they put him in prison, and he's been serving his term in prison. And one night, he's uneasy and can't get no rest of no kind. And so he just praying and said, "Okay, God, you saved me. You changed my life. Now, you must have something else for me to do besides to sit here in this prison forever. So what am I supposed to do?" And all of a sudden, he heard the Lord say, "Isaiah, call the guard keeper and tell him you want to go and use the warden's phone to call your girlfriend to ask her to marry you." He said, "Lord." He said, "Call him." So he called the guard keeper. He said, "Guard keeper." The guy finally come down and he said, "What do you want?" He said, "I need to go call my girlfriend and ask her to marry me." He said, "Yeah, you and 5,000 other prisoners want to do the same thing." He said, "Absolutely not. That's an old one. I ain't letting you." He said, "God just spoke to me and told me to tell you to let me out and let me go up to the warden's office and call my girlfriend." He said, "You trying to tell me God spoke to you? You're a prisoner in jail, in prison, and God..." He said, "Yes, I'm telling you, God spoke to me and told me to call my girlfriend and ask her to marry me." He said, "Come on." He said, "I've heard every excuse in the world, but I ain't ever heard that one." So he opened the door, leads him up to the office, and Isaiah picks up the phone, and 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and as his girlfriend answers, and he says, "Honey, will you marry me?" She said, "Are you serious?" He said, "Yes, will you marry me?" She said, "You really, really serious about wanting me to marry you?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "Yes." She said, "You know what I was just fixing to do?" She said, "I just went and got the gun. And I was going to line all of the kids up." They had 3 or 4 or 5 children, and some of them was his and some of them was other guys because she was a prostitute. And she said, "I'm fixing to kill all the kids and then kill me. But you really want me to marry you?" He said, "Yes." She said, "Okay, I will." I said, "I will not harm the children or myself." And so he told the guard keeper, and the guard keeper put him back in the cell. And a few days later, the information got to the warden, and they came, and lo and behold, somehow they let him out. God let that man out of prison, and he went and married that woman. And today, in fact, the other day, he was down at Daystar. Isaiah Reed and his wife and his children, they're ministering the word of the kingdom of God, getting people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and everything else. And now, what can God do? Yeah, I mean, so if you think that you're in a place with a loved one that God can't change them or touch them, let me tell you, just don't give up. Right. Every time you look at somebody and every time you look at them, if there's any kind of a problem, say, "I forgive your sins." Yes. I mean, "I forgive your sins." That'll get them, you know it?
It will.
So this girl that Cheryl and I have been dealing with here the other day, when I told her, I said, "You know, you're going to get saved." She said, "I'm not going to get saved. I don't want to be saved." I said, "That just tells me who's blinding your mind." I said, "But you have no choice. When I pray and rebuke the enemy and I kick the devil out of you and then I forgive all of your sins and everything," I said, "once I do all that," and I said, "then you're going to get saved. And when you do, first time you come to my church, you're going to grab me and hug me and kiss me and say, 'Pastor, I'm so glad you didn't give up on me.'"
Amen.
Because every human being wants to be saved.
Yes.
Nobody wants to die and go to hell. That's the devil himself talking, isn't it?
Yes.
We have to learn who we are. Now, who are we, Miss Betty? We're sons and daughters of Christ, right?
Right?
When I look at you, are you Jesus?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Now, see, some people say, "No, I'm not Jesus, Thurman. I'm not there yet." No, you ain't never going to be there yet on your own.
Right.
You ain't never can be good enough to be Jesus. The only thing you say is, just like Dave keeps telling us, he keeps pounding us, saying, "You are the righteousness of God in Christ by what Jesus Christ did on the cross," right?
Yes.
It ain't by nothing you did. It's by what he did.
Right.
And by what he did, we are sons and daughters of God. Now, one more time, I want you to just look at somebody somewhere beside you or whatever, and say, "I forgive your sins." Mean it. It's written. I forgive your sins. Then tell them why you can do that. I am a son of God. I remit your sins. I forgive your sins. In the name of Jesus. Now then, do you believe you're forgiven?
Yes.
You know, I love to tell this story about this deal because I taught this very principle in this church, and of course Kim and Scott, which always come here, after they heard this, they knew it was true, but they had never experienced it. So anyway, one week during, I don't know, after church or whatever it was, they went home and had a little storm. And as the power went out, late that night, they contacted the power company and said, we have no power. They said, we have a transformer blowed up and we're fixing it, but it should be on by morning, no problem. Well, the next morning when they got up to have breakfast, there was still no power. So the power company didn't understand why, but they could not get the power to come back on. So Kim and Scott did what every good Christian does. They asked the Lord why the power didn't come back on. Now, is that true? Does every Christian ask that? No, we don't do that, do we? No, we don't. We don't. Why do we not do that? We don't think, do we? We just don't think. I mean, who's running the show for us? God is. And so Kim and Scott, they do what good Christians do. Father, in Jesus' name, what is the problem? Why do we have no power? And the Lord spoke to him and said, Kim, remit the sins of this block, the whole block, where I can turn the power back on. Is that what he said, Kim?
Sure did.
And of course, Kim, being a good, wonderful, lovely Christian lady, the very first words out of her mouth, God, I can't forgive the whole block sins. Now then, for a second, who was she seeing? She was seeing herself. She knew she couldn't forgive the sins of this old block. The block might not be too big, but we know there's a lot of sins in every block, don't we? I mean, you can't find a place where there ain't no sin in a block. So she's seeing herself in that, and so she's saying, God, I can't forgive the sins of this whole block. And she's right.
That's right.
She cannot forgive the sins of this whole block.
Nope.
But she thought, the Holy Spirit just snubbed her in a quick, just like that. And when he did, she says, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I can't, but you can.
Right.
So according to John 20:23, I forgive the sins of this block. Thank you, Lord. And how long did it take the power to come back on?
Like that.
Just like that.
One snap
of a finger.
Ooh.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Now then, when we tell these stories over and over and over, we tell it because if you're not very lucky, one of you will go home within the next 2 or 3 or 4 or 6 weeks, something like this will happen, and you will have forgotten this story. Do you know we forget real easy? You know how easy it is for us to forget things, especially that is in the supernatural. You know, if everything else, the devil, he'll steal that away from you. I mean, he'll steal it right out of your heart. You know, he don't want you to know that you can do this. Because if we believe we can pray, and we believe that what we say is going to come to pass, we can, well, just like I told at the healing school yesterday, about this couple. They came to a healing school several years ago, a man and a woman, and had two sick children. Now, one of the little children would go to school, and while he was at school, it'd go into a rage. I mean, just a rage. Now, if you've ever been into a school today and see kids in a rage, most people have no idea what the problem is, but I'm telling you, it's demons.
Right.
That's what it is. It's demons, but we have power over those demons. So anyway, this couple had this little child, and the child would go to school, and sometime during the day, something would happen, and I don't know what it would throw it off, but that kid would get wild and start screaming, start beating his head on the desk or on the floor, and the teachers couldn't do nothing, so they called the mother. The mother, she said, I'd go to school, I'd get the child, and I'd try everything. Nothing worked. All he would do is scream, bang his head on the floor. Doctors tried doctors. Doctors couldn't find nothing wrong with this child. Didn't have any idea what the problem was. You know, an X-ray won't show up a demon. It don't show. So you hear you got a child's got a demon and you don't know what to do with it. The doctors don't know what to do with it. But that's why God told us, and these signs shall follow us, and we shall cast out demons. And he tells us what they do. They come to steal, kill, and to destroy. So you've got to know. And so anyway, the mother said this little child would bang his head on the floor and on the desk and everything else. And then the other one, they had a second one, and that one had eczema. Eczema all over his little body. I mean, just like little Jenna out there. I mean, it's these sores everywhere. And doctors couldn't help that either. So they heard about us. So they brought those two children down here. I told them, I said, it's demons. And I said, the reason the children are both sick is because you and your husband are not getting along. You're not submitting to your husband. Your husband's not loving you like, Christ loves the church. Y'all are not, as Christians, you're not walking in obedience to God's way of doing things. And they said, are you trying to tell us that our sin is what's making our kids sick? I said, yes, absolutely. That's what it is. Well, what do we have to do? If your sin is making your child sick, what do you think you would have to do?
Stop sin.
Do what?
Stop sin.
Confess sin?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So they said, okay. So they had never heard such a thing. Never. They said, we had never heard anything like that anywhere in any church we've ever been in. So that couple right here remitted their sins to each other. We didn't remit their sins. They did.
Amen.
They forgave each other and promised God they would walk in love with each other. Is that what God told them to do?
Yes.
Yes. And so they did that. And so I looked over at the little boy. I put my hands on the little boy. And I said, now then, you're redeemed from the curse. I have been given power and authority. You're the source of the sin, which was your mother and your daddy. They have repented. So now then, I'm commanding every spirit of hell to leave you, go to the abyss, and never come back in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you. It's done. Now, this little girl here, little child here, that's got the eczema all over his body, also the mother and daddy have repented of their sins. Same mother and daddy. So I command the spirits of eczema to leave this child and to never come back in Jesus' name. 3 years have come and gone. We never heard from them. This last week, we got an email from them. Pastor Scribner, what a great thing to call you and tell you that our child that had the beating of the head that couldn't go to school, it never done that no more since we come to a healing school. It's totally stopped that and is now an A-B student in everything it does. And the child that had the eczema all over its body has not had a single sore come up nowhere in the last 3 years. Do y'all wonder why we love doing what we do? Jenny? I mean, Jenny had so many testimonies last week. She said, Papa T, she calls me Papa T like all the rest of the kids do. She said, there ain't nothing in the world like working here. There just ain't nothing in the world like praying for people, finding people's sins when you learn the principles, finding their sin, confessing their sin, breaking the curse, praying the prayer of faith for them or their babies, and seeing these children and them get healed.
Yes.
Is that awesome?
Awesome.
Just think. You have to go get your kid at school. Banging his head on the floor. Can't stop it. No doctors can help it. Guess what he had? A demon. Yes, a demon. What allowed that demon to go in there?
Sin.
Absolutely right. When the mother and the father got into bitterness toward each other, got into unforgiveness, then that tormenting spirit, which come from God, Matthew 18, 21 through 35, clearly says that God, if you don't forgive each other and walk in love with each other, He, God the Father, will send a tormenting spirit to torment you. And that's more than most people can fathom. You're trying to tell me God would send a demon to give me a spanking? He will. You know, he will. And it ain't no fun. You get a demon, it ain't no fun. But that praise report, to think, I mean, just think. Of course, like Dave, for instance, that's only been 3 years since that little kid was healed of eczema and beating his head on the floor and all those things. But just like I told the church yesterday, I said, you know, just a few years ago, there was another little boy by the name of Cody. He was 9 months old, and same kind of deal. I mean, same kind of deal. Mother and daddy were Baptists. But this mother needed somebody to keep this child, and my wife said she would keep it. And so she tried for 3 weeks, and after 3 weeks, she said, I have met my match. I cannot keep this child. This child is wild. He runs, he screams, he kicks, he won't sleep, he won't eat. And I said, this is not normal. So I just turned to the Father. Did the Father say we could ask?
Yes.
Call unto the Lord, and he'll show you great and mighty things. Did he say that?
Yes.
So why do we go to doctors? You know, why don't we go to God? So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, what's wrong with Cody? He said, a tormenting spirit. I mean, it didn't take him that long to answer. Just like when he turned the power back on for you, Kim, same way with me. Bam, tormenting spirit. I said, oh, okay, so in the morning when Mama brings him and leaves him here, I said, I'll cast that spirit of hell out of him in the name of Jesus. Do you have power over the spirits?
Yes.
Do you know where a scripture is that tells me you have power over those spirits?
Luke 10:19.
Where?
Luke 10:19-20.
Boy, you got it down, Kim. Luke 10:19-20. So I want you to read that. I want you to see. You need the word in your heart.
Yeah.
This is what you need to know. You need to know that if somebody says, you know, it don't work like this. I say, I teach you these principles, and then you go home, and 6 months now you have an encounter with the devil somewhere. Somebody does something. And you try your best to cast it out, and you said, you know, I know Thurman said we'd power over the devil, and he said there's a scripture in the Bible somewhere, I just don't know where it's at. Now, if you got a sword, and you know that a rock, and you got a gun in your closet, and you got a big long sword in your closet, and you know it's in there somewhere, but it's a great big closet, and a guy comes running in to kill you, and you don't even remember which side of the closet you put it on, you're in trouble. You need, right? You need to know where that sword and that gun's at, right?
Yeah.
Either that or you need to know in the Word, you need something that you can get and get to quick. Because if you can't find it, it's just like that the other day. There was two Spanish guys, this was on the news the other night, so several weeks ago, but two Spanish guys broke into a little house of a man. He had a little daughter. This little daughter was a skeet shooter. And she was only about 12 or 14 years old, but she loved to go shoot skeet. She's 11. Man, they could pull that trigger and that thing would shoo, bam, bust that little duck all to pieces. Well, she had her gun right beside her bed. Good place to have it. And two Spanish guys broke in the house. And one of them come up there, and she heard them coming up the stairs, and she grabbed her gun, and she opened it, had it ready, was cocked, and one of them guys stepped in that door, and when he stepped in the door, she shot him right in the gut. Bam! He fell over the stairs and right back down. She jumped up, and the one at the bottom, he screamed to tell her, what happened? The guy says, he's still alive. He said, get out of here! And so that guy started out the door, and she ran up, and she reached over the stairwell, stepped right over that guy, and shot the other one in the back as he tried to leave. She stopped both of them. You don't want to stop in a house that's that well armed. If you happen to be a devil or a demon, you want to know. Now see, is that the way we got to be?
Yes.
We may not need to have a weapon or a gun, but we need the Word of God or something readily available so that we know where it's at and we can call on the Word of God. Because if you got to go looking for it, it's too late. Is that true? Okay. Praise God. One more time. Turn around and look at somebody. Put your hands on somebody. I want you to put your hands on somebody or something. I want you to touch somebody. Touch somebody. This time we're going to put hands on them. Cheryl's got her hands on me. Everybody put your hands on somebody. Put your hands on them and turn and say, I forgive all your sins. Now you are delivered and you are healed because I'm a son of God. In Jesus' name. When I speak, you have to do what I say, Satan. I'm a daughter or son of God. All power and all authority is given to me. I have no sin. I'm clean. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I'm a son of God. And I'm clean. No devil can live in me. I command every evil spirit to leave me. And never come back to me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Now, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What time is it?
22. You need to pray for Bill and Betty and Jeff. They're going to be gone Tuesday and Wednesday to the Woodlands.
Oh, okay. 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 Bill and Betty and Jeff are going to go down to the Woodlands in Houston to pass out some of these forms and cards and everything else.
Texas Association of Sheriffs.
Police chiefs and sheriffs. But anyway, we're going to send them off to do something good for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if, and of course this thing is just snowballing beyond our wildest dreams.
Yes.
It really is. Who would ever dream, you know, that you start out with a little handful of cards, and now then the last time, how many did Bill and Betty order?
50,000.
How many?
50,000.
And how many did we order the first time?
First time was 1,000, then it went to 20,000.
Okay, the first time was 1,000, then it went to 20,000, and now this time it's 50,000. So what is God doing here? He's looking for a man or a man and a woman that'll do something for him. That's all he's looking for. And boy, can he put you to work. He can put you to work. He said, but you say, gee, but I'm 87 years old or whatever. 84 or whatever it is. He says, that ain't no problem. Moses was 120. No problem. I sent him up there, and as long as he didn't sin, I let him do all kinds of things for me. Can God keep you and me healthy, Bill?
Yeah.
He can keep us healthy and do anything. All we got to do is say, here I am, Jesus. Use me for your glory.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to walk over to somebody like this precious little thing right here and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Was that hard? No, it's not hard at all. And you're going to get well.
Yes.
Guarantee you're going to get well because we're praying for everybody. If you ever been in a church that was clean and pure, this is it today.
Amen.
We have prayed so many times for everybody and remitted everybody's sins. There ain't a demon left in this house. Every demon is gone. You know, we're walking in love. We're going to be obedient to his word. And we're going to see God do great and mighty things in this church. Now then, as you go this week, walk holy before him.
Yes.
As you do go, we're going to pray for Bill and him in just a minute. What, honey?
If they need these, we have a box of them. Right?
Oh, okay. So we got a box of them if y'all need any cards. So, but anyway, in fact, Mike, let me ask you to pray a special prayer of protection and everything for Bill and Betty and Jeff. Can you do that? Get a mic, take it over and give it to him. And let Mike pray for them as they go this next week to pass out these cards. Okay, you got it.
For their travel and everything.
Praise the Lord.
Daddy, we just love you so much and we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to lift up Bill and Betty and Jeff as we send them off to do your work and to take your word and to show these police chiefs that they can be bulletproof with Psalms 91.
Yes, Lord.
That they can take the word of God and go into every shift and every situation that they're presented with and come out victorious.
Amen.
That when they walk with and on the Word of God, that it cannot fail. It's the same word that spun this blue planet, that created the light, that we prove it every day that we wake up, that the breath that's in our lungs and the beating of our heart is by the mercy of our Daddy and the Creator of all, and that this word is true, and that it works, and that these men who are our heroes, our first responders, that walk into danger when nobody else will, that they will be able to take this word of God and keep it next to their heart and in their heart. And that we'll be able to teach them, that Bill and Jeff and Betty will be able to show them this glimmer of hope that is the word, and that they can turn this into faith, and that they can lay these cards on people that are injured in wrecks, that are dead, that these cards are anointed. They are the word of God, and that they will see miracles, that they will see their lives changed, that they will see people that shouldn't live, live, that they will see people laying helplessly in their own blood and stand on the word of God and say, live, and they will see miracles. We thank you that the faith of these two men and Miss Betty as well will go forth, and that you'll protect them in their travel as they stand on Psalms 91. And we read this psalm every day, and we stand on it, and we believe it, and we know it's true, and that it heals us, and that it gives us no fear, that we know that we are your sons, and you gave us this promise, and that we can hand it out to other people. And we know that it works. And as other people get a hold of it, they know that it works. We just ask a blessing on this work. We ask a blessing on this ministry, that it be spread nationwide, that everyone that is in the front line gets this card, and that they know that it's a gift from God, and that they will take it, and they will receive it, and they will believe it, and they will feel it. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. In the name of our brother Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you, Daddy. It's done.
Amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you.
Now, I want each one of you that will, it's not a requirement, but I'd love for each one of you to make a commitment to the Lord. Say, Lord, you send me somebody to tell about Jesus this week. Send me somebody. You know, let me pray for somebody that needs to be healed, or somebody that needs to be saved. It's real simple. I can forgive anybody's sins real easy, Lord. All I got to do is just walk up to them and say, I remit your sins. Now then, touch them in the name of Jesus and believe God's going to heal them. Isn't that wonderful? That God made it so hard. It is kind of amazing how simple he made it, isn't it? He made it so simple. All you got to do is forgive their sins. Just walk up and say, I forgive your sins. I forgive your sins.
I forgive your sins.
Amen.
Amen.
Then you can say, I pray for you and be healed.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And it works.
Yes.
We've had numerous people that come through this church that have done this and saw it work for them and for their loved ones. Just like that lady I was telling you about, the one that she kept getting on my case. I mean, she's, I don't want you to pray for me. I don't want to be saved. I'm impossible to be saved. Nobody can say, even God can't save me. And so I kept telling her, yes, I want you just to say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And she said, I don't believe that. I said, well, say thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. But she said, I don't believe that. I said, but it's going to get you. She said it, didn't she? So anyway, as we prayed for her and everything, I finally told her, I said, why don't you call Monday? Why don't you call Jenny? And you and Jenny have a nice long talk. And so she said, okay, I'll call her and talk to her. Now then, are we on the right track?
Yes.
Yes, we're on the right track. And as we pray for that girl, and as Jenny prays for that girl, and as she I mean, you know, this is kind of the way the story goes. A girl comes up and she hears a story, and this pastor, I know him, he's now deceased, but I did know him personally. He said that this girl walked up and said, "Sir, I loved your message tonight, and I loved you talking about the Holy Ghost and Jesus, and I would love to become a Christian. But," she said, "if I did, I'd have to change my lifestyle, and I love my lifestyle." He said, "What do you do?" She said, "I'm a strip dancer." And she said, "I love making all that money. I love all them guys throwing them $100 bills up there at me." He said, "You know, you can become a Christian and do all the strip dancing you want to." She says, "What? I thought I'd have to change." He said, "Oh no, you can continue to do that. Just you'll just be amazed how good of a strip dancer you can be." She said, "Well, now you're really telling me the truth that if I accept Jesus, I can still be a strip dancer?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Okay, I'll take it." So she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. The next Sunday, she came back to church, and she came down to the hall, the corridor here, and when she got up to the front, she says, "You're pretty slick." He said, "What do you mean?" She says, "I don't want to dance anymore. You said I could dance all I wanted to." But she said, "I don't, as a new Christian, I don't want to dance." So she said, "You really knew that all the time, didn't you?" He said, "Of course I did. But if I had have told you that you have to leave your old life and you love your old life and you're a sinner, you didn't want to leave that. I mean, sin's fun for a season, right?"
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, that girl's dancing up there in front of all those guys. Them guys are throwing them $100 bills under the edge of the net there, boy, and she's just, you know, taking them to the bank. "But if I have to become a Christian and I have to quit that, then I don't want to be a Christian." But she said that when she doesn't know what being a Christian is. But once she got born again, filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit said, "No, now you're clean and pure and holy. Now you're my daughter." She said, "Goodness, if I'm his daughter, I don't want to do that no more." So she didn't do it no more. See, you got to learn to listen to the Word. Like just like a while ago when Cheryl asked me something, I said, "Honey, I'm totally led by the Spirit on all that. I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea. I really don't." You know, when I came in here today, my message was going to be in 2 Timothy. How many verses have we read out of 2 Timothy today? Listen, God does this to me often. Amen. But we say, how many people today that came today, how many of you got healed? All of you that believed. That's just like the Jeff, whenever the lady called him from Sid Roth, said, "How many people that Pastor Thurman's ministry prayed for gets healed?" Jeff said, "All of them." She said, "All of them?" He said, "Well, let's qualify that. All of them that do what he says. He tells you to repent of all your sins and then believe with no doubt in your heart. And everybody that believes that, they all get healed. All of them. Isn't that amazing? God made the rules so simple, didn't he? All we got to do is believe. That's just like being saved. You know, how many people do you know that you've seen and you've asked somebody, "Well, do you believe you're going to heaven?" "Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven." "Why?" "Well, I've been a good boy. I've been a good guy. You know, I mean, I go to church once in a while. You know, so surely I get to go to heaven for that, right, Scott?" And if people believe that, but that's not what gets them there. But the guy that's really had a born-again, Spirit-filled experience with God, when you say, "Are you going to heaven?" He says, "Yes, I know, because I am a son of God. I'm washed in the blood." When you know that, you know where you're going, don't you? Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now then, if you want to need to be prayed for today, we're going to have all of our prayer warriors. In fact, my prayer warriors need to stand up wherever you are, all over the place, front, back, everywhere. Prayer warriors. Yeah, just prayer warriors only. People that are standing are people that are going to pray for you when we get through here. So there shouldn't be a whole lot going on. Everybody should be clean and pure and prayed for, and you ought to be healed. If you really believe you're healed and delivered, you may not need anything today. We may have the easiest prayer day we've ever had, so you can't ever tell. But if you have some questions, we still can ask these prayer warriors, all of them, any of them, your questions. And if you don't need anything, well, you can, you're going, after we close out in prayer, you can be dismissed to shop and get you some CDs and DVDs. You get as many as you want. Take them home with you because they're all free, and you need to listen to learn the truths of God's Word. And if you need any of these Psalm 91 cards, just come up here and get these from Cheryl. Yeah, so, okay. Okay, praise the Lord. Y'all can be seated, and I'm going to close in the Word of God. And then if you do need prayer, want to talk to somebody, or need some questions answered, well, Cheryl and I will be up here, and Scott and Kim will be somewhere, and Nate and whoever, Sharon, I guess, or Jenny or whoever. So anyway, but Dave and Jeff will be back there somewhere. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this precious, beautiful, glorious day that you have made for us. Now give us wisdom this week to watch what's going on in the world. Stay away from places that might cause problems. Lord, give us the knowledge and the wisdom to be at the right place at the right time. Help us to stay out of harm's way. Help us to share with others what they need to do. Lord, help us to pray for the people that need prayer, because, Lord, there's many people out there that have no idea of the promises that we've talked about just this afternoon. They have no idea, and they're Christians. These all belong to them too, but they don't know it. So help us, Lord, to be about your business, to be teaching your people the principles of your kingdom. Now, Lord, thank you, and we praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You are dismissed. Praise the Lord. Have a blessed week this week, and do something for Jesus.